Amen. While you're standing, let's launch into the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about wholeness. Wholeness. Amen. To be healthy, we got to go at this thing wholeheartedly, and it will give us health in the spirit. Amen. And it'll give us wholeness. And one of the precepts that we need to come in contact with is holiness. And holiness can bring about wholeness. Amen. Praise God. Now, there's people here that have been in church a long time. People here that's been in church for a very long time. And there's people, some of the people that haven't been here long have caught on to holiness. Some people that have been here a very long time have not caught on to holiness. Here's what the game is. And that is this. I am very, very responsible to preach and to teach and to reach you with the whole Word of God. After that, you have decisions to make. Am I right? So please understand, I'm not forcing anybody into anything. I'm not going to make anybody do anything. But I'm going to love you to the point that you do everything. Praise God. Because the Word of God is a beautiful thing. I wrote it down. It just came to me this afternoon. The only way the Word will get in you is when you get in the Word. Praise God. And we've got a mixed up world out there because they're hearing what people say and feeling and thinking and opinions and all of that. Listen, let's let the Word of God get in us so that we can't make any mistake about it. If we want the Word of God in us, we're going to have to get into the Word of God. Amen? Many of us are reading our Bibles through this year. Some of you have already finished. That's amazing. And some of us are cramming, trying to get it done. Hallelujah. But stay with it. And you say, well, it looks like I'm not going to make it. Do as much as you can. Next year, do a little bit more. And that makes it always better. Right? Amen. Praise God. All right. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16. But as he which hath called you is, everybody shout holy, so be ye holy. In other words, be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy. Why? Because I'm preaching it? No. Because I'm talking about it? Or because we're Pentecostal? That's why. No, that's not why. Amen. We are interested in holiness and what it's all about and how it works and why it's good for us and all of that good stuff, because the Lord is holy. Amen? And so we're challenged by Him to be like Him. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I would really love to be like the Lord. Amen? Now, you know, we've laid hands on people and we've seen them healed. We've seen people healed of lung cancer. People have been healed of AIDS. People have been raised from the dead. You didn't know that. You don't know what you've been missing. Amen. Get in here and be a part of this stuff. Great things are happening here at Landmark. And we've seen all these things happen. And I just feel like that the closer we can get to Him, the greater He will anoint us to be used in these ways. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to lay hands on all the sick like He did? There are many times in the Scripture it said He healed all of them. And that would just be a wonderful thing. Praise God. Lord, help us tonight. We need Your anointing. We need Your Spirit. And we ask You, Lord, to bless every individual in the house by Your grace. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you as you're seated just now for this evening's Bible study. Praise God. Holiness, I believe, is God's ultimate desire for mankind. I really do. I believe that. It is the most important work of God's Spirit in a believer. Now, the flesh will not go and venture into the arena of holiness, because the flesh and the spirit are enemies. I like what that wise old Indian said one time. He said, there's two very vicious dogs, powerful dogs inside of me. And he said, they fight all the time. One young man got so interested in his story, he said, well, tell me which one wins. He said, the one I feed the most. He said, it's a good one and it's a bad one. And he said, if I don't feed the good one good, the bad one will win. And so it is, spirit, flesh, they war against one another. And because the flesh knows that it cannot be saved, it will not be rescued, it cannot go in the rapture, and it will not live eternally. And so it wars against the spirit to be fulfilled and satisfied and gratified while it's here. And so let's just feed the spirit a little bit tonight. What do you think? Is that a good idea? Praise God. And so Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a bride. Now, the word of the Lord lets us know that he's coming back for a bride who, through God's power, has separated herself from this world. Amen. All right? And so it is. Let's talk about, and for those of you that are just coming in on our Bible studies, we don't give points, we give splinters. Each splinter is something that you can write down, and because you might forget a point, but it's hard to forget a splinter. You feel that one. Holiness means separation, and holiness means dedication. More specifically, it means separation from sin and dedication to God. Separation from sin, dedication to God. To Christian, people of God, it means to live pure, and it means to live sinless. And that's pretty important if we want to serve the Lord. Only God possesses holiness as a natural part of himself. He was born holy. He died holy. He was always holy, and he will always be holy. It was a natural thing. It's always been a natural thing for God to be holy. It is not a natural thing for me to be holy, or for you to be holy. But that does not mean that we just forget the holiness thing. No, we want to adopt and adapt to the nature of God. Now, this is something that will not happen overnight. I've seen people put too much pressure on themselves. Amen. This is something that is a process. But you know what? We got time, because we're going to give our heart to God for a lifetime, right? Amen. And so it is. We want holiness, and we want righteousness before the Lord. And we don't want it just because a man said it, but we want it according to the Word of God. And that's why we're here tonight, to know more about the Word of God. If we know more about the Word, then we can apply it, and then that will help satisfy the Lord's hunger for holiness in us as well. I just honestly believe the Lord wants us to get to a place when he looks at us, he can see himself in us. Amen? And that takes holiness, because that's what he is. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And I want to dip into that holiness, and I want to dip into that righteousness tonight. Praise God. Amen. And so holiness is not a prerequisite to salvation. You don't get holy and then try to get God. That's not the way it works. You get God, he'll help you get holy. Amen? Praise God. And so Romans 8 and 7 says the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity means hostility. So if you think carnal, if you think flesh, then you're going to be hostile about some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight. Because that flesh, it just cannot bow down to spiritual things. It's rebellious toward. The only way a person can be holy is to allow the Holy Spirit. There it is again. His Spirit is what? Holy. Allowing the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Presence of God to dwell within us. When he dwells within us, that makes it a lot easier. Amen. So let me give you another splinter here. God's ultimate desire. God's desire and definition for holiness hasn't changed throughout time. Time does not change God, ladies and gentlemen. I know people change. I know traditions change. And I know churches have even changed. But that does not give, they don't have a right to do that. Because we serve a God and he says, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't matter if it's been over 2,000 years since he's walked this earth. His principles, his doctrine, his word, his truth is the same. Amen? Everybody shout, same God. Shout, same word. Even now. Praise God. And I'll tell you something. The Ten Commandments did not invent morality. There's people that live according to the Ten Commandments, and that's it. That is, listen, the Ten Commandments were in action long before they were put in a table of stone. And incidentally, it had to go to the printer twice. And so, because Moses destroyed the first batch. But murder was sin a long time before Moses received the sixth commandment from God. It was sin when Cain slew Abel. Am I right? The moral law of God is eternal as God himself. And so we've got to be moral. And the only way that we can learn to be moral is from the scripture. Amen. The Old Testament acted as a schoolmaster to teach these laws. Galatians 3:24, real quick here. Amen. Let's look at Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the Old Testament characters were taught to obey the Old Testament. And we need to take that lesson and learn. We need to be obedient to Christ in the New Testament. The power to live these laws didn't come with the Old Covenant. The Holy Ghost is deriding these things in the is writing these things in the heart of a child of God. They didn't have the authority and the power and the dominion through the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But since the Holy Ghost has been poured out, we now have power. We now have authority. We now have dominion. Amen? So that's what the Holy Ghost is for us. In essence, the Spirit of God within makes a person desire righteousness. When the Holy Ghost comes, you just want it. When the Holy Ghost really comes, you just desire it. And church is fun. Church is exciting. Worship is fun. Worship is exciting. Amen. And so it is. Praise God. Jesus is coming back after a people who have been made pure by his blood. Amen. Ephesians 5:25-27 describes the church of Jesus Christ that it will be coming back, amen, that he'll be coming back to receive. Praise the Lord. And so he has cleansed it, and it is without spot. It's without wrinkle or any such thing. Paul sums up this truth in Hebrews 12:14. Let's look at this. Hebrews 12:14. Let me show you how important holiness is. The Bible says, follow peace with all men. Amen. You can't run from it. It's something you got to stand still and face and make peace. People are the same everywhere you go. Amen. Hallelujah. You treat them that way here, you may get them upset. Go somewhere else, treat them that way there, they're going to get upset. Just stand your ground, look at them in the eye, and make peace. Peace with all men. And, somebody read it out loud. Holiness. Amen. We're talking about wholeness here. Amen. We cannot be whole in the Holy Ghost and with the Lord without holiness. Without which no man, peace with all men, holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So it sounds pretty important. And so if I'm not going to see the Lord without holiness, I need to find out what holiness is and make some changes and make some choices and allow the Lord to come into me with conviction. Somebody said, well, when the Lord gets ready for me to do that, he'll just do it. No, he won't, because you don't even know anything about it if you're not in the Word. But that's why we're here tonight. Now, I'm not complaining, and I'm not bickering, And the reason I'm not is because if I did, I'd be doing it to the wrong crowd. You wouldn't even be here if you wasn't interested in the Word. And so I don't have a right to complain. And so I just want you to know and understand some principles and concepts here tonight. Amen. That the purpose for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is to bring you into His holiness with Him. Praise the Lord. So Jesus announced in John 16:13 that the Holy Ghost would guide you into all truth. Amen. So it wasn't over, was it, when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? It wasn't over, was it, at baptism? It's not over because I received the Holy Ghost. I'm just getting started, because now that I've received the Holy Ghost, He's going to lead me into the truth. And it's the truth, the Bible says, that will make you free. So receiving the Holy Ghost is the very beginning, not the end. Several beautiful truths are discovered in 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Chapter divisions were not a part of the original text. So between, let's look at it real quick. Chapter 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're not, you are the temple of the living God. Amen. In actuality, you know, we talk about, let's go get to the church. When in actuality, when you look in the mirror, you're saying, let's take the church to that house down there. Because the Bible says you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Future tense, they shall be. In other words, they're going to be my people. Amen. Now, what's the next verse after that? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen. Unclean thing. Wow. Let's find out what that is. And we learn that through a lifetime of serving the Lord. Amen. I've always said it like this. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard, it's too hard. So don't overwhelm yourself tonight. But let's move forward another inch tonight. Tomorrow, let's move forward another step. Let's go another step the next day. So eventually, we're going to look back and say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. Praise God. And so we want to get to the place where it speaks in Romans 6:14, where sin will not have any dominion over you. That's where we want to get. Is that not our goal? Amen. So the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, governs the church through the nine gifts. Yet its greatest asset to the individual is the power to make him holy. Other points are found in other scriptures, and I wish we could expound upon all of them, but we will go into these lessons a couple of more times. Amen. And so, but let's look at perfecting holiness. Let me give you a quick splinter right there. Amen. The suffix ing, it speaks of a continuous process. Amen. I know it's not a word, and I know that my Bible study is going around the world right now, but I'm going to say it. The Lord is in the process of holifying us. You got to put the ing on everything. In other words, it's so frustrating to see people, they call their favorite preacher and say, I now accept Jesus Christ my Savior. And that's it. They're saved for a lifetime. Listen, no. You just made a statement that gave you a little faith. Now act upon the Word of God and He'll take you the rest of the way. Amen. So, we don't say we walked down to the altar for God. We say we are walking with God. Trusting, ing, in God. Worshiping, ing, continual, God. Praising, ing, in the process of continual praising Him. In other words, we don't graduate from this stuff. There's no graduation until the rapture takes place or death calls us home. Amen. You're not finished. Amen. Somebody says, well, everything I get now is just an added blessing. No, it's not. It's going to help your salvation. The Word of God is still salvationizing you. It's ing. It's a process. It's something that has a divine continuum. And so let God continue. Don't make Him stop. Don't make Him finish, because He has not finished that good work in you. He wants to complete great things. Amen. And so we want Him to complete that. It is a journey that has no conclusion on this earth, where one is always growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at this. The fact that holiness is not a burden. We got to get out of that mindset that holiness is a burden. Can't do this. Can't do that. Can't do that. I gave you a list one night of all the things that we can do. And some of you won't even get to all of that in your lifetime. You can go and climb the top of Eiffel Tower. You can go to see the Sears and Roebuck building. You can go to every amusement park in the nation. There's some that's on the other side of the world. You can go to them. You been to that? No. Okay. You get to do that. Amen. You know what rich people do? Rich people have weenie roasts. They cook hot dogs and hamburgers in their backyard. Can you believe that? And so I can do that. I might not be rich, but I can cook a mean hot dog. Hallelujah. And you know, that's tube steak. Praise God. And we can fix hamburgers. Listen, stop thinking about the things you can't do and start thinking about the things you get to do. Let me tell you some things you don't have to do once the Holy Ghost and holiness gets a grip on your heart and spirit. Amen. You don't have to spend your income on drugs anymore. You don't have to owe all of your income to the bank anymore. What's wrong with having money that's not owed to the bank or a credit card? Hello? Amen. You don't have to drink yourself to death. You don't have to smoke and toke and choke yourself to death. You don't have to hide and do drugs. You don't have to snort. And you don't have... Am I making sense now? Good. You may be seated. Don't get so excited. Praise God. I'm just telling you tonight, listen at the things that the world really gets hung up on. And we've got something that the world doesn't have, and the world should not be able to take it away. I see Brother Mondo stand up, clap his hands. He's got a right, man. That was one bad hombre when he was younger. Thank the Lord he came to the Lord. I don't even know if he'd be alive. He might still be alive, but there'd be some other folks dead, I think. Hey, the Lord has brought us from a mighty long way, but He's not finished. Holiness is not what one does for God, but what God has done for mankind. Holiness makes the world better. Holiness makes the church better. Holiness will make you better. Holiness is not what one gives up, but that from what which he has been delivered. He is delivered. The Lord is not giving you holiness because you gave something up. He's delivering holiness to you. And because of holiness coming in, we don't have room for the things that we used to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17 presents the correct perspective. Look what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Amen. It didn't say he just has a new heart. It doesn't say he just has a... It says he is entirely a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, dead. Behold, all things are become new, fresh, brand new. Born again. Not just a mindset, but the creature itself. Amen. Praise God. And so the child of God can say, I'm a new creation. My desire for holiness is no burden. Sin was a burden. Sin is a burden. Sin is heavy. Sin is strong. Sin is powerful. Holiness is just, it's a light that has come. It is a freedom and a liberty and a freshness and a renewing. Amen. And so if he has to cast away a few things to please the one who made it possible, that's no burden. Amen. So let's look at holiness tonight as a guiding influence. It's already been shown that the Holy Ghost is a guide. Another is the Word of God, the Bible. Amen. So we have the Spirit guiding us, and we have the Word of God guiding us. Amen. Please don't say you love the God of the Word if you don't love the Word of God, because you can't separate them. You cannot separate them. If one desires to know the mind of God, all you've got to do is read the book of God. Anything stated plainly in the Scriptures as good or evil should be taken as such without any controversy. The voice of the Spirit of God in a child of God will never contradict the written Word of God. Amen. The Bible gives us the complete law of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Scripture, there's a Scripture, I believe it's in Philippians 2 and 12. Let's check. Hope I'm right. Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. There it is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That does not mean make up your own Bible. Amen. It means to understand the Scripture. Not everything that could have been written about him is written. The Bible says the world wouldn't be able to contain it. But we do have this. Amen. But there's a lot of things not in it that are just good common sense. For instance, Let me just say this. This verse does not give the individual liberty to change the written law of God. Amen? Praise God. It says to seek it. And the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. It governs him. The Word of God governs you where there is no law. Amen. Where if it doesn't cover everything entirely, then seeking God with trembling and working out your own salvation with fear and trembling according to the Word of God will help you find your way. There may be a muddy road on which no speed limit is posted. And so since there's no speed limit, do we go 150 miles an hour on a muddy road? No. You're working out your safety by slowing down. It just makes sense. I want holiness to just make sense to the child of God tonight. Amen. All right? So quite often God, through the Holy Ghost or His Spirit, will speak to the pastor. He'll speak to church leaders to establish a church position. Amen. Now, you take a man that's fasting and praying. You take a man that the church is his guts. You take a man that the church is his spirit. A man that literally, amen, would lay his life down upon this altar right now for. Don't you get all blistered because he said something and you have not fasted. You have not prayed. You have not sought God. You would not give your life for this church. You would not, amen, you have no right to walk out and to bash us with your mouth. Until you've given this thing everything you've got and done it like it's supposed to be done, you have no say. I'm just saying tonight. Amen. You say, well, I'm entitled to my opinion. And you absolutely are. Siri on my phone and I, we had that conversation. I said, Siri, show me where this hospital is. And she said, certainly. And she gave me directions. And she put me right in the middle of a neighborhood. I got back on her. I said, Siri, today, you don't know what you're talking about. She said, well, you are entitled to your opinion. I said, well. So, yes, everybody's entitled to your opinion because you're a free moral agent. But listen, follow me as I follow Christ. When I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. But if I'm doing and leadership is doing, and every word that comes out of our mouth is trying to help you, trying to build you, trying to establish your family and your relationship with others, why don't you bend an ear and listen for a while before you make a solid opinion about things? Oh, you ought to clap your hands right there. So I could have a drink of water. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, you know, it's important, amen, to understand these things. Praise God. And then the Bible spoke to us earlier about holy conversation. Amen. The Greek word translated conversation in the New Testament, the translation is unique. It means both conversation and behavior. So when the Lord said, your conversation, he's also talking and speaking about your behavior, not just the way you talk, but the way you behave, carry yourself, and the way you look. Man's words and actions spring from, spring forth from his mind. The way to have holy conversation, holy behavior, is to have, first of all, a holy mind. We will not struggle with it. Holiness involves motive as much as, or more than, action. Amen. So we got to have a motive, and our holiness has got to be adapted and adopted into our motives, and then it will just come out. We've already studied it. Amen. They shall know us by our fruit. Amen. And if holiness is our motive, then that's what's going to come out. Amen. So once again, listen closely. God provides the power if the individual provides the will. God will give you the power if you have a will for the power. Amen. Praise God. Now, Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Let's look at that. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 gives a good example of this joint effort. Praise God. Be careful for nothing. That literally means be careful about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So let holiness be, let it come out on purpose. Amen. Get it to a place to where it doesn't have to be a strong effort. Amen. Prayer is essential, ladies and gentlemen. If you pray, you stay. If you fast, you last. If you weep, you reap. Amen. Praise God. Can I say a little something about prayer also? Amen. I know there are times we come before the Lord with moanings, and we come before the Lord with groanings, but it doesn't have to be every time. We need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is conversation with God. Now, it doesn't have to be shallow all the time. And so it can be, conversation with people you love is different most every time. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's, apostolics don't argue. They speak loud. Sometimes it's emotional. Amen. And sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes it's loud. But it's all, and it's conversation. And no different with God. Listen, when you're seeking God, don't beg him every time. You don't have to beg him every time. You don't have to be broken all to pieces and half depressed and suicidal. Amen. Just come to him and say, Lord, you know I love you. I'm here to worship you. I've got a need, and I want to praise you for answering that need. Wow, praise him before the need's answered. Whoa. Don't get into a routine and a habit of coming to God so sad all the time and so upset and broken. And I know the scripture. It says, a broken and contrite spirit, he will not turn aside. But I believe sometimes he's saying, really? All the time? Every time? Hello? Amen. Come to God happy, even though you're in a sad situation. And watch him answer the need anyhow, whether you're happy or sad. He's the God that answers prayer. And it's not just a certain kind of prayer. You don't have to scream every time. You don't have to shout every time. I know people, they cannot pray unless they're just, they're fisted up and they're charging and they're screaming. That's a good thing to do, but not every time. Amen. And so prayer is conversation with God, and it's essential. And so do different things. Talk to God in different ways. Praise the Lord. And when you come to the altar to receive thunder, it's nothing wrong with coming down praising Him and worshiping Him and believing He's actually going to do what you're asking for. Whoa. Somebody say, whoa. Yeah. Amen. So He provides the power. We got to provide the will. Amen. Through the Spirit of God, the individual effort to control his mind, holy conversation shall be accomplished. A key to success is found in Proverbs 8:13, where it simply says, hate. Want to hate something? Hate evil. How many of you believe the devil hates you? Don't you just look at him sometimes and say, I hate you too. What's new, buddy? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Amen. James, the brother of Jesus, in chapter 3, gives a good indication of the power of the tongue. Here's what T.F. Tenney referred to the tongue as, and he's called the, this is what T.F. Tenney, a great man of God, here's what he called the tongue. That little red devil behind the pearly white gates. And we may smile with our pearly whites, but there's a little red devil right behind it, your tongue. We need to bridle that little outfit, right? So your conversation's got to be pure toward God, and it needs to be pure toward man. The following laws will help govern that. Exodus 20 and 7. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. So important was this command that it made 10 commandments. This includes the obvious and the not so obvious. We should abstain from cussing, cursing, bitter things coming out of our mouth. According to American Heritage Dictionary, a euphemism is the act or an example of substituting a mild, indirect, or vague term for one considered harsh, blunt, or offensive. In other words, it's a euphemism to go around saying, oh my God, please don't do that. And that was strictly an example. I don't do that. And I don't want you to do that. That's taking him lightly. That's slinging him out there because it's slang. Because it's what everybody, no. You just say, oh my goodness. And so when you text, you can still say, OMG. You got to do that. And so just let them know, you know, hey, no. God's more important to me than that. When I call his name, I want him to know he's got my attention and I'm not just playing games. Is that good enough? Be careful with euphemisms. Be careful about the way the world does things. Amen. You say, well, that's a whole lot better than cussing. I don't know about that. We'll talk about that again. According to these foundational things, we've got to avoid a bad spirit in our conversations. Praise God. Proverbs 10:18 talks about slander. Solomon declared that one who has slander is a fool. Amen. Some climb the ladder of success while others seek to knock people down off the ladder. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to succeed in serving God. And we're here to help our brothers do the same thing. We're here to help our sister do the same thing. Amen? Praise God. We're not here to be individuals. God didn't make individuals. He made man. And every man, woman, child, and young person is important in his eyes. And that's why we do things together. And that's why the Bible tells us to look alike, act alike, walk alike, talk alike. Praise God. What's wrong with that? And hopefully we're getting to the place that we look just like Jesus. and act just like Jesus and walk and talk just like Jesus. Amen. So every child of God is a servant of God, and God is the judge of us all. Amen. And something we don't have a bit of problem with in this church, but I need to throw it out because it's my third point, and that is gossip. I know you don't even know what it is. I'm just going to just help you out here. To say something about an individual is what? I see you already know what it is. Praise God. I'm a good teacher. Amen. Hallelujah. He is not present when there is gossip. The Lord is not in it. He's not around it. The person being spoken to is not in... it's gossip when the person you're talking to is not able to help you with the topic. That's gossip. You're just telling them to be telling them. And the information, it's not edifying to the individual you're talking about. That's gossip. Amen. Hallelujah. And on the funny side, don't use a prayer request card to gossip. Please pray for so and so. They've been doing this and they've been doing this. Some people just have to gossip to make dust, and they're going to juice it up, and it's always going to be more than what it really is, and yada, 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 and then you got all that to deal with and stuff. And so I'm so thankful for our church, praise God. Amen. You don't want bad things to seem good, so you have to come up with bad things. You'd be like that little girl in the Sunday school class. I literally preached for her dad, and Sunday school class was dismissed. It came back for church. And lo and behold, after church, I found out the pastor's daughter was in her Sunday school class. Well, they had picked up all these kids from the bus, first-generation church people, you know. I mean, and they took up prayer requests, and some of those kids, some of them, it's like one of them said, please pray for my mom. She's in prison. And another one, please pray for my dad. You know, he's a drug addict, and please pray for that. Well, the preacher's daughter's sitting in there, and she's about, 6 years old or so. She said, please pray for my daddy. He'll quit smoking. Pastor, he wasn't smoking. She just felt like she had to have something too, you know. I mean, he works at the furniture factory now, and I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I mean, if you want to look good, make something out of your life. Make something out of it. Serve God. Give it everything you've got, and the Lord will elevate you. The Lord will bring you up. Amen. You will never look better as a result of gossiping about your brother or your sister. It will never make you look better. All right? And so let's let the Holy Ghost in our behavior. Amen. I feel... In the next couple of Tuesday nights, we're going to get deeper and deeper in the holiness issue. But I wanted to talk about holiness in your spirit tonight. Amen? I don't want us to start on the outside and forget the inside. Let's start on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Amen? So, let's look at, and I'm nearly done. And you may be seated. But Galatians 5:19 through 21. Let's look at that real quick right here. I love this topic because I love holiness. Amen. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And we've seen these before, and we've spoken on these before. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and all these things. And we broke them down for you and let you know what each one meant and things of that nature. And so this is the list of the works of the flesh. This is the things that the flesh just loves. All of these things are contrary to God. Am I right? And so we cannot employ and enjoy these things as a child of God. The Word of God is speaking against these things. And so, and then the Bible said, and such like. All the things are not even listed, but it says, and such like. Amen. Basically, Paul is saying, I've given you enough for you to get the idea. So take the idea of what God doesn't like and run with it and learn and grow in the grace of the Lord. Amen. Dishonesty could certainly be added to this list. It's been said that church is church and business is business. But and while this is true, it's also true that righteousness is righteousness, whether one is in church or on the job. So we should live the same way on the job or in business as we live in the church of the living God. Correct? Amen. So when one comes to the Lord, he's got to be prepared to destroy some things. Listen. Gideon's first job was to destroy the altar of Baal. What good does it do us to come to this God and not destroy our other gods? Read your Bible. They fought that and fought that all through the Word of God. What good would it be to come and build an altar to this God of this Bible, Jesus Christ, and not destroy our other gods? Because there's only one true living God, and Him only should we serve. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we truly desire to come to Jesus, then we've got to be willing to take the carnal man to this altar. To be holy is simply to be separate. And we're not separate because we want to say we're holier than anybody. If anything, I was worse than anybody. I'm not holy, but I don't want to be holy because I can say to this world, I'm holy and you're not. That is so far from what we're about. We want holiness because He's holy. And we just want to come close to Him. That's all. Amen. And I just feel that anybody that would learn about holiness properly would come to grips with that and understand that, and they would feel an invitation from the Lord as well. It's a divine invitation from God, and I accept it. I accept it. In conclusion, righteousness is the state of being right with God. Anytime a person acts or lives contrary to God's truth, he's unrighteous. Salvation brings man into harmony with God. But again, you're just getting started. So if salvation brought you in harmony with God, then now you're ready to travel with Him, walk with Him, and learn of Him. Amen. And so the more in harmony with Him a person becomes, the more righteous this individual becomes. So this should be the supreme desire of every child of God. And that is to be in harmony with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? You believe it? Amen. Then why don't we just lift our hands and thank the Lord for His Word tonight. Let's just lift our hearts with our hands. Lift our spirits. Come on, join heart to heart with God, hand in hand with God, mind to mind with God, word to word with the Lord. And let's just thank Him for the Scripture. Thank Him for the Word of God. Amen. Thank Him for men, perhaps, that are still in this generation that are not afraid to preach and teach the truth. Hallelujah. Becoming a rare item. Hallelujah. But that's all right. There's an oasis over here at 208 Landmark Place where they can come and find refuge in the Word of God. And everybody shouted amen. God richly bless you. Love you. Shake hands. Amen. Come out, friends. Praise God.